I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
They came out with on a level that we just weren't at, you know, and they raised their level, and we got to be able to match that. And I don't think we did.
Donovan Mitchell saying they didn't match the intensity of the Los Angeles Clippers in Game 3. They want to try to do it, of course, tonight. All eyes on whether or not that ankle is totally dialed up for Donovan Mitchell. Of course, Mike Conley out for Game 4 as it was released today. The Jazz listed him as questionable yesterday. Announced that he was out for Game 4 tonight. Joining us right now on the line from KSLSports.com, he's Ben Anderson, of course. And Ben, live in L.A., covering this game. What's the difference, Ben, in Game 3, what was the real thing that was, in your mind, just the biggest difference maker for the Clippers to be able to not just win, but to beat the Jazz pretty handily?
Honestly, as simple as it may sound, it might have just been being at home and being in their own gym and shooting in their own gym. As you look at the shooting percentages from the first couple of games, they averaged like 37.5% from three, which is a really good number, don't get me wrong. But they shot 42% for the year, and then they go back to L.A., and they shoot over 50% from three in that first game. They hit, 19 of 36. So yeah. I do think part of it was just, you know, kind of the sight lines, being back in the comfort of their own gym. The crowd isn't, you know, some crazy crowd that's giving them a huge boost, but that's certainly not going against them. It's a much lower pressure situation. So I think a lot of it had to be just being in the comfort of their home. And it never looked like the Jazz really took them out of being comfortable, which is what I think you heard Donovan Mitchell kind of say there at the beginning of the segment.
G'day, Benny. Tom here. Good to hear your voice. Hey, I have to assume that the Jazz are expecting Kawhi Leonard to play his role. But poor George shot the lights out. Is he gonna do that tonight again? Or do you reckon he maybe cools off a bit as expected?
I think you're going to have a hard time slowing down Paul George and Kawhi Leonard just because they are all stars and they're guys who have done this at a high level. And they've particularly done in games that they've really had to win. Now, this game technically tonight probably isn't a must-win for the Clippers after they won Game 3. You know, they can go down 3-1 and still come back and win a series. As difficult as that is, you don't have to win this game. So generally, their numbers haven't been as good in those situations. But I think the guy who you really got to worry about is Reggie Jackson, the guard for the Clippers, who's just been so good over the last two games. He had 29 points in Game 2. He had 17 points in Game 3, but shot, you know, 5 of 6 from the three-point line. You just can't let their third guy go off. I don't think the Jazz can match that right now when they don't have Mike Conley. So If the Jazz let Reggie Jackson continue to be kind of the thorn in their side, as well as both Kawhi and Paul George going off, the Jazz are going to have a hard night. So I think that's what you've got to keep an eye on. It can't be three guys. You can do two guys, that's fine. That's what every team's going to do. You just can't have that third star explode.
We were looking today, too. And yeah, I mean, after Game 3, as soon as the horn sounded, Donovan was way wrapped up with the ice and limping to the locker room. He said, "I'm fine, no big deal, some tightness. I wasn't going to go back in the game because it was in hand. I was about to check back in, but I didn't." So What are the chances that he is still 100% right now? And can we rely on the fact that he, I mean, so much is already going to be on his shoulders with Mike Conley out again?
No, I mean, he's not 100%, and I don't think he'll be 100% the rest of the year. That ankle was just so badly sprained. And, you know, I think all of us assumed, I know I certainly did, that, okay, the Jazz are being extra cautious over the last 16 games of the regular season, and they're not going to bring him back. You know, they're going to let him get fully to 100% plus a little bit of extra rest to bring him back. And then he didn't play game one against Memphis, and you realize, oh, this is a real injury. You know, this injury is worse than just, hey, this is an opportunity to give a guy extra rest. So as soon as that happened, I started to get a little bit concerned. And then you saw basically every game since then, he's just not had a full 48 minutes where he's not, you know, fallen hard to the ground, limped at some point, walked back to the locker room. In fact, I think he may have gone back to the locker room in every game so far. You know, taking a while to get up off the ground once he does fall. There's just enough examples now of him clearly actually being hurt that I'm not waiting for him to be 100%, but he hasn't been at all in the playoffs, and he's still averaging whatever, 32.5 points per game. He's just been absurd. So as long as he continues to play at this level, look, he can play better if he wasn't hurt, but it's not like that's the reason Jazz are losing games. Certainly missing Mike Conley is a bigger deal. Not getting bigger performances from guys like Bojan Bogdanovic or anybody on the bench in this last game, those were bigger issues for right now.
Crazy. Sorry, the Jazz have obviously gone crazy this season about shooting the three ball. But how important is it to get more points in the paint against the Clippers tonight? I have to think Quinn Snyder was pretty upset with how that went in Game Three.
Yeah, I think the hard part for the Jazz is they just weren't getting into the paint at all at the start of the first quarter. And look, you can hit threes, and you want to hit threes, and that's great. And that ideally should in turn flip and kind of open up the paint. And it did a little bit in the second half. But you need to get Rudy Gobert some easy dunks, some easy baskets, so Donovan Mitchell doesn't have to hit these dagger threes over and over. Jordan Clarkson doesn't have to dribble into these threes. Or you have to create these shots by dribbling around. It would be really nice if you could get a couple of those dump-off passes or lobs to guys to get easy baskets or layups at the rim, because that does get everyone kind of in a flow. And the Jazz just haven't had that against this Clippers small lineup. They didn't do it in Game 1. They didn't do it in Game 3. They keep kind of throwing different looks at the Jazz that they said they haven't seen before or haven't seen in a long time, and it just takes a little while to get worked out. The good news is, as series go on, there's fewer secrets. There's fewer things you can unleash and adjust to on somebody, and you're just kind of seeing everything. So ideally, the Jazz stop seeing new things. It was the zone in Game 2. It was the small lineup in Game 1 and again in Game 3. Ideally, those things should get better, but with that, you need to see the results, and those results include getting easy baskets, scoring more from two, where they were outscored by, I think, 28 points in Game 3 inside the three-point line. That's a lot of somewhat easy looks to give up to lose a game.
Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com. He's live there in Los Angeles. The tip-off of the Jazz and Clippers in Game 4, I'd probably say over a half hour. It says 8, but it's always about 8:11, 8:14, you know, kind of in that time frame. So as Ben gets ready here, what do we know about Mike Conley's injury? Anything other than just that they keep listing him at questionable? When you talk about the Donovan injury being a lot more than we thought it was, this seems to be the same with this injury. Obviously, if he was able to go even remotely, or are they still just trying to say, hey, we are a better team than the Clippers without Mike Conley, and so we want to get him better?
I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think the Jazz, certainly, if they could have him back, even if he wasn't at 100%, they would bring him back. But, you know, the hamstring is something he's going to keep re-injuring. They thought they fixed it the first time in February, and they didn't. And they thought they fixed it, you know, in April, and then they didn't. And then, you know, he got hurt again in the playoffs. It keeps being something that he keeps re-aggravating. So I'm not expecting that to get back to 100% either at this point in the season. So I think they would like to bring him back at a point where they feel like, hey, this is the best gamble we can make, that he can make a stretch run. And even if he, you know, re-hurts it, he'll at least get you far enough into the playoffs before that happens that it was worth it. And look, they're not expecting him to go down with the ship again at some point. I mean, I think they are hoping that he can come back and be fully healthy the rest of the way. But it's just hard. It's a hard gamble. And I think they're just kind of playing this waiting game of how long until the tightness doesn't show up immediately, that you feel like you can play him for 20 minutes or 25 minutes. And that's just going to be a touch-and-go situation for the Jazz. Now, the first time he missed games, he missed 2 weeks. He's coming up on that mark on Wednesday. The second time he missed, or it was a little more than that, was like 17 or 18 days, so that would be maybe by game 6 in this series if they decide to go that long. So history tells us, even with this injury, he's come back. He said this one was less severe than the first two. But, you know, hamstrings are weird. We remember them with Carlos Boozer. We've seen it with James Harden. You just never know when they're going to be ready to go.
If we're going to take one thing away from this interview, Ben, it's hamstrings are weird. That's where the big takeaway is. How does this game win? Last question. How do you game plan? What's the actual game plan for the Jazz to crack the code tonight and maybe come back up 3-1 back to Salt Lake City for game five?
Yeah, I think going back to what Tom asked, I think about getting into the paint, I think putting pressure on this Clippers defense to not be able to just run off of missed threes, because when you miss threes, that ball does bounce long, which starts easy baskets going the other direction. And then you got to hope that Kawhi Leonard doesn't go off again like he did. He was just unbelievable inside the paint. I think he was 8 of 12 inside the three-point line. That's just, you know, that's too many easy baskets. Maybe it was even 10 of 12. He was just fabulous. And if he does that, they're going to be really hard to beat.
Ben Anderson, we're going to let you to it down in Los Angeles. Staples Center is going to be where it is tonight. The Jazz and Clippers, game four. Thanks for hanging out tonight, Ben.
Thanks, guys.
All right, have fun with the coverage. As we get going here, man, I'm feeling more and more optimistic as the evening goes on.
Oh, calm down, Kerry. you take things too seriously. It's just a
this
game
is the only thing I have.
They're up
2-1.
They're up 2-1.
The only thing I have.
Hey, we ran out of time. I wanted to ask him, what do you reckon the environment's like in Staples Center?
Well, he said it's something that I've talked to him about too. Is he goes? I mean, they have a few thousand fans.
Yeah,
I think
it's only limited. Right?
I think it's 6,500, and then they have a bunch of cardboard cutouts. It's not insignificant though. It's not enough to the fact to
you
the point where
you
go.
You think it plays a role?
I think it's fine. I think that they're like, hey, this is kind of nice. Like this is definitely a nice home crowd.
Okay.
And LA keeps adding more and more people, so I don't think that it's a, you know, come here and it's just everybody's bursting out at the seams at Vivint Smart Home Arena,
right,
and it's a ghost town at Staples Arena. It's not. I think it's you have a good number of fans who are making some good noise there. I think it's funny they're still going with the cardboard cutouts. Like,
I love it.
That's so mid 2020. Like, let's figure it out.
It is kind of depressing, isn't it? Because we watched a lot of sport with cardboard cutouts. Like, get it out of here.
All right, we'll come back. We got more to go. Rudy Gobert. Garnering some more attention with another little alley-oop award that he got today on the all-defensive team. We'll talk about that and much more here as we get going. Is Donovan Mitchell really okay? We'll come right back and talk about that. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
Seven 30 at KSL News Radio. I'm Jason Doolin. KSL's top stories this hour. Doctors in Utah are already seeing more patients coming into hospitals with heat-related illnesses, and the triple-digit heat in the forecast has them warning everyone to look for the warning signs. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
Doctors say very real issues happen when people push themselves and ignore the warning signs of heat-related illnesses, like fatigue or nausea. And when they do, they have more severe problems like cramps that last for hours. Doctors say the lungs like to have the temperature just right, so warm air is fine, but hot air feels suffocating.
Plus, the high levels of ozone will be a real issue for people with lung problems, including people who have recovered from COVID-19. A woman was shot and killed after asking a man to put on a mask in a Georgia supermarket. ABC's Dave Packer reports.
A female cashier dead and a sheriff's deputy injured after a dispute about wearing a mask. It happened at Big Bear Supermarket in Georgia's DeKalb County. Police say an argument broke out between the cashier and the man. A witness saying that man struck the woman with a gun and then shot her. A part-time deputy working security at the store then reportedly engaging the suspect, all taken to the hospital where the cashier died of her injuries. Dave Packer, ABC News.
A major theme park says fully vaccinated people can take off their masks.
California's reopening on Tuesday is also the first day that out-of-state guests are allowed to visit Disneyland. And beginning Tuesday, people who are fully vaccinated will not be required to wear a face covering in the park. Disney, which is the parent company of ABC News, says it will not require proof of vaccination, but the people who are not fully vaccinated should continue to wear masks. Reservations are still required to enter the park.
ABC's Brian Clark reporting. Let's talk about the heat. That's next. KSL News Time, 7:32.
This is Derek Miller of the Salt Lake Chamber with your Utah Business Report. The Salt Lake Chamber has announced that Catherine and the late Robert Garf will be honored with the 42nd Giant in Our City Award. The award recognizes those with exceptional and distinguished service, as well as extraordinary professional achievement, and is widely known as the most prestigious business award given in Utah. Utahns know the Garf name and the family's success in the business community. However, some may be less familiar with their rich legacy in our state of community service and charitable contributions that have blessed countless lives through the years. For decades, Kathy and Bob Garf have been passionately dedicated to educational efforts and programs geared toward helping Utah students succeed. For more information, visit the Salt Lake Chamber website. The Salt Lake Chamber. We stand as the voice of business.
Deseret Media Companies, a proud member of the Salt Lake Chamber.
Tim and Amanda here letting you know that June is a great time to buy a Honda, especially right now when they're offering top dollar for your trades. But if you're looking for a new vehicle at any of their seven dealerships from Logan to Orem, make sure and take that HR-V for a test drive. And I say thank you to Brandon Wilson at Ken Garf Honda downtown. This HR-V seats five comfortably, but it has something they call a magic seat in the back that is configurable to many things, even accommodating items up to 8 feet long. And if you're looking for entertainment on the road, it comes with a 7-inch display audio screen.
Now, I own a Honda Accord, but I've had a chance to drive the big one, the Pilot, and my thanks to Scott at Larry H. Miller Honda in Murray for that. The Pilot seats eight easily, and it's got the heated and ventilated front seats. We need those ventilated front seats. It's got the hands-free power tailgate and this cool PA system where you can talk from the front driver's seat all the way to the people in the back.
And don't forget, your trade-in has never been worth more. The more you compare, the more you know. It's time to buy a Honda from your Utah Honda dealers.
Hi, break time?
I know you.
I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. It seems like you take care of yourself.
I do. I play tennis. I try to eat well.
What about screening for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. Colon cancer is more treatable when it's caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and is used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit requestcologuard.com.
I'm on it.
Excellent.
Big news for everyone who enjoys smart, insightful discussion of the news.
The KSL family has expanded.
Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson is now on from 1 to 3.
Just ask Alexa or any smart speaker.
Playing KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together here at KSL News Radio. And traffic's looking pretty good out there. We do have a fire-affecting roadway out there by Kennecott. There's a brush fire, grass fire out there. Has the right lane closed. It's about a 201 at about 100... and 3rd West. We do have a crash northbound I-15 at 6600 South. That's just affecting the left shoulder. So we're looking okay out there. Incredible savings on Bernina sewing machines at Dave's Bernina in Provo and St. George during their summer sale through June 15th, featuring 60 months no interest on certain models. KSL weather, it's hot. Breaking records again tomorrow. 104 expected and lots of sunshine. 72 overnight, and then going to cool down a little. Set 98 on Wednesday, 97, and some clouds on Thursday. It is 101, and partly cloudy at KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, and KSLNewsRadio.com. This is Utah's all-day companion for news.
A full hour of coverage of tonight's semifinal showdown. This is KSL's Unrivaled, the Jazz Clippers Semifinals. Here's Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
That's right. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell in the air, getting back to Salt Lake City after welcoming his newest grandbaby into the world, and we're super excited for him. He'll be back tomorrow night.
What goes through your head?
What's up?
Well, when you have your first grandbaby. What do you reckon he's thinking about? Like,
oh, he's like beyond excited.
Okay, good.
No, I mean, like,
because I'm worried if I get to that point, I'm just gonna be frightened.
No.
Like, I'm that old.
He's
like,
not
this
that
is
guy.
Where I'm at now.
No, he's not that guy at all.
Okay, good.
He's 100% like, I can't wait. I'm gonna be there. And he went out to North Carolina where his daughter and her husband live, and then boom, there you go.
He's on his way back.
New baby. And yes, sent pictures and everything. So we're really excited for him. He'll be back tomorrow. Tom Hackett is the voice you hear on the other side of this. We're all in the studio together. We're all feeling good. across the street, people filing in for the Jazz watch party.
It's really cool. I always forget they do this.
Yeah, it's
in the
great.
Playoffs. It's awesome. There's quite a few people trickling into the Viv this evening.
I'm asking for some score score predictions. 57500 is the text number. You can weigh in, give us your thoughts. I want a score prediction, and I want the X factor. So give me the score. Give me the X factor. I'll give you an example. Boyd Mathison, host of Inside Sources.
Good friend.
Here we go. 112-104 Jazz, but not because George Niang has a good game, though I hope he does. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you got to hang your hat on George Niang, we're in a bad place. Readjust your sights. We got to figure our lives out.
No offense intended, of course, to the minivan. We love our minivan.
We don't want to go, hey, man, if that eighth man shows up, we're going to be okay.
Hey, if you want to shoot a text.
What's Mione doing tonight? I want to see if he has a game, then we're going to be all right.
If you want to add to the text reasons why Kiri needs to calm down about the game,
yeah,
feel free
to.
How you feeling?
No, I've been calmed down all night. Like I said, I've got people talking me off the ledge. I got Boyd going, we're going to be all right.
We were prepping the show, and you were in all sorts.
I'm
struggling.
Because I am one of those guys that goes, oh, my gosh. And I'm not saying it's over. What I'm saying is there's that part of you that goes, oh, boy, 132-106, they figured us out. We're frauds. It's that imposter syndrome. No. Look, it's like when you go, there's no way we shouldn't have been in this place. We're not the best team in the NBA.
Here's the way I think about it, this game in particular. I think, okay, I do think the Clippers probably are the more likely team to win, given the fact that Mike Conley's
tonight.
Out.
Tonight.
Yeah. Given the fact that Mike Conley's out and Donovan may be a little banged up, as Ben said, he's certainly not going to be 100%,
yeah.
Which is scary. But at the same time, if the Jazz can find a way to win this game, it's over. The series is done. What, 3-1? You're going to say that the Clippers are going to come back?
I'm not saying they're going to come back, but they did it before. But I will say,
it's a win.
Coming back to Salt Lake, 3-1 would be devastating for them because the Jazz would have.
Oh, it's over at that
point. The Jazz would have three games. Although we told ourselves that last year, didn't we? 3-1 up to the Nuggets, and we go, well, they got three games to win one.
I didn't feel good when I said that.
Oh, just now you had a little shiver of not feeling good about.
I don't like saying the series is over when it's not.
Right.
3-1. I feel bad because I feel like I put the jinx on them.
Right. 57500 is the text number you can weigh in. Oh, a couple nice numbers here. Again, people giving a lot of points to the Jazz. 121-111. Little double-digit win down in L.A. That'd be nice.
No. That's not happening.
Donovan Mitchell, 32 points. He had 30 the other night. He could have easily had 40, but Quinn didn't let him go back in the game. They would have been garbage points at the end.
Is he a superstar?
Absolutely. If you've not been...
Without question?
He is definitely...
That is a legitimate question.
He is definitely like the 1B best player in this whole series. Kawhi Leonard hasn't had... I mean, Kawhi Leonard is the number one superstar in this series. Donovan Mitchell is actually, in those first two games, showing him up, obviously. Game three, it went the other way, but... Last year, he started to become a superstar. The only way he can get to superstar status this year is to at least get to the finals. You have to be in an NBA finals for the rest of the world to see.
I think we put way too in America we put way too much of an emphasis on stat lines. And I think if you look at Donovan Mitchell's stats, I think you could easily make a case that he's a superstar caliber player. But if you just watch the Utah Jazz play with Donovan Mitchell on the floor. Without question, almost every single night, with a few exceptions, he's the best player on the floor.
Mm.
I think he's a superstar, personally.
I do, too. And I think that he was already there. And the problem is that, you know, asking someone to be sort of, donned that superstar status in this market just takes longer. The application goes; it takes a lot longer to go through and be approved.
Of course,
in the NBA for the NBA, you know, powers that be to officially don you to kind of coin you a superstar. But we all watch it, and every time you watch these games on TV, what do all the announcers do? They go, "This guy is insane." And I was listening today to national pundits who are going, "Nobody can guard him, but you just have to kind of figure it out." Even Kawhi. He'll get by you. I mean, he just has a way of getting to everybody who's on the floor.
Here's the kicker for me when it comes to, I think at times late in games, he can become a little too one-dimensional and it's too easy for opposing teams to shut the Jazz down because they know Donovan Mitchell's going to have the ball in his hands and he's probably not going to give it up. And it's kind of similar to what's happening from a team standpoint at the minute when you watch the Jazz play specifically in Game 3. They were throwing up way too many threes and weren't finding enough points in the paint like we talked to Ben about. So it's fascinating. There are a lot of storylines.
Keep them rolling in. Ooh, Jazz 108, Clippers 114. Look,
that's a safe call.
I mean, look, I think that they're the Vegas favorites, right? I mean, they're four and a half point favorites going into this one. Jazz up by two, 110-112. Gobert will play as he did in game one of the series, as will Slow Mo Joe.
Was game one the block? I get the
Which
game one.
Which block? I mean, because
the Rudy Gobert block at the end of the game that won.
Oh, yeah. That was game one. No, that was game one.
Rudy was not good game one up until that point.
He was okay.
Oh, he was okay.
I will tell you, the block of that game was Derek Favors sending it into the bleachers.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That was the one that everybody really... Jazz 110, Clippers 106, another prediction here. And they also include Joe and Rudy right here. It says, X-Factor is Joe. He needs a fantastic fill-in for Mike. Get Rudy at the rim. I'll say that Rudy, I can't stand when he tries to bring that ball below his waist. He just shows how... not strong he is compared to some of these guys who he's up against. Keep that ball above your head. Put that thing straight in, fella. I want Rudy with 18 points, 18 rebounds tonight. That's my prediction. Gobert with at least 18 and 18.
Oh, my word.
I mean, he had 20 rebounds the other night.
You know what I thought's fascinating in this series? I think Bogdanović defensively has been interesting. Bogey. I think it was game two. They threw him on a Kawhi and Paul George, and he actually did reasonably well. He was really quite good. And then, but he hadn't really shown that the rest of the year. And then they tried to do the same thing game three, and you know it didn't really work out for him. So it'd be interesting to see how Quinn handles that this evening. Who do they put on? Because obviously you've got Royce O'Neal is going to take one of the two, and then it's kind of pick your poison, I guess. Who do you throw on? Do you throw Joe on Paul like you have in the past? Or does Bogey get a run? What about Donovan? His ankle might not be ready. It's going to be fascinating, Kerry. I'm looking forward to it.
My son calls Slow Mo Joe, a.k.a. Joe Ingles. He calls him Homeless Joe sometimes.
He looks a little disheveled, doesn't he? I'm sorry, Joe.
Hey, look. Cooper's got a sense of humor. All right. We'll take the break here. Keep your text rolling in. Jazz predictions. Our MVPs are next, including something that you likely have never seen in a golf match. Stay right here with us. More to go. Tom Hackett filling in for Scott Mitchell. We're taking your Jazz Clippers predictions game four as people stream into Vivint Smart Home Arena to watch it on the big screen across the street live from L.A. So we'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
I've gotten to the point where I just...
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.